That's good to be with you guys again. Thanks so much for even singing a Spanish song. That's really impressed. It's good for me to start learning singing in Spanish as well. It's even harder than talking Spanish. So good effort. I'm impressed by that. Thank you. It's good to be sharing with you God's word. So thanks for inviting us. We've just moved out of our apartment yesterday, in the last couple of weeks in Australia before we fly. So it's really nice we can see you guys just before we leave. Well, in the year 2000, there was a group of American scientists and journalists working for a magazine called Improbable Research, and they set out to test the American postal system. They got a whole bunch of crazy different items to see if they get posted. Like, all they did was just put a stamp and an address on them, no wrapping, no packaging, no envelopes, and they wanted to see if they would get to the destination. So they sent them through the post to see what would happen. So some of the things that they sent, which were delivered successfully, were a $20 note, so they just posted that with a name and address on it, a football, a rose, it's quite romantic, a ski, big long ski, a green coconut, and a large wheel of cheese. So they didn't package them out, all they did was put a stamp address, sent them in the post, and they were delivered successfully. So that's pretty cool. Maybe you could test that out with the Australian postal system, see what you can get away with posting without any packaging. But there were some things they tried to send which weren't delivered successfully. So, for example, they had a can of soup that didn't get through. They had a brick, which probably isn't too surprising. It'd be heavy in the bag, wouldn't it, for postmen? A lemon, that didn't get through. And a bag of kitty litter. So that didn't work either. So it's not surprising. So some of those funny things they sent, they never heard about again, they never saw them, they don't know if they're delivered or what happened to them, they just got lost. And I wonder if sometimes we think of missionaries in a similar way, kind of like funny people that we send to the other side of the world. Some arrive and seem to do quite well, others we don't know where they ended up or what exactly they're doing. We might get an occasional prayer letter, but we don't really know what they're doing. So I wonder if, is that what mission is all about? Yeah, some people go overseas, but as the headline there says, the rest of us, we stay, we pray, and we send them on their way. So there should be a question mark at the end there. Is that what mission is all about? We pay, we pray, we send them on their way. So why do we bother with mission? Why is mission so important? That's what we're going to be looking at today as we read through John chapter 17. So why is mission so important? And we'll see what Jesus says in this chapter, and there's three things that he says, three answers to that question, which we'll see. So I want to argue today that mission is important because God is a missionary God. Mission is right at the heart of who God is, his identity, and also what he does. Everything he does is related to mission. And we're going to see this in John's Gospel. So firstly, mission's important because God sent Jesus on mission into the world. God sent Jesus on mission into the world. We've just had Christmas, all the food and presents and gifts. And Christmas really is a celebration of God's mission. It's the time where we remember that God sent Jesus to live in our world, to be one of us, to be Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came to save, that's why he was sent. And if God hadn't done that, if God didn't send Jesus, then we'd still be under God's judgment. We'd still be facing his wrath and his punishment. And we'd be lost. We wouldn't have a saviour. We'd have no hope of salvation. My grandmother is back in England. She's 99 years old. She's getting pretty weak now. We're hoping that she's in hospital at the moment. We're hoping she'll just hang in there a few more weeks, two more weeks, and then we'll be in England and we can see her. But I think actually she might hang on a bit longer. I think because her birthday's in March, you see, and she'll be 100 years old then. And you know what happens when you're 100 years old? You get a letter from the Queen. And she's always been excited about getting this letter from the Queen. Signed card saying happy birthday from Queen of England. And I think she'll hang in there for that. And I can imagine on her birthday, when she gets that card, she'll be so excited and privileged to think, wow, the Queen has sent me a personal card. How honoured she feel. But likewise, we should feel infinitely more honoured and excited and special because God sent not a card, but his own son.
He sent Jesus, his own son, into the world to come and save us. The King of Kings wants to personally know us and relate to us.
And as you read through John, and especially this chapter, you'll see how Jesus, he kept repeating again and again that he was sent by God the Father. He was sent on mission to save us. You can see that here in chapter 17, Jesus is praying with his disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem. It's the night of his arrest. It's the day before his crucifixion. This is it. This is the crunch time. This is why he came into our world. So this is a really big moment here, and it's the heart of why of Jesus' mission. And six times, if you read for the whole chapter here, you'll read six times Jesus talks about himself being sent by the Father. Just to pick one of those verses, verse 18, Jesus prayed, "They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." So he's saying again and again, he was sent by God the Father. And if you read the whole of John's Gospel, you see this idea of sending comes up about 60 times. It's a really big theme. So why does Jesus make such a big deal about being sent by God the Father? Well, he makes a big deal about it because our eternal destiny, where we will spend eternity, depends on what we believe about where Jesus was sent from. Our eternal destiny depends on believing that Jesus was sent by God the Father. If I think Jesus was just a good teacher, a good man from a place called Nazareth who lived and died 2,000 years ago, then I'll miss out on eternal life. But if we believe that Jesus was sent by God from heaven into our world to rescue us and to save us, then we're promised a place with Jesus in heaven for eternity. Jesus says here, chapter 17, verse 3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So eternal life depends on believing that Jesus was sent by God the Father. So this means God is a missionary God. His mission was to save us, that's why he sent Jesus, and that's at the heart of his desire and his nature and who Jesus is, who God is and what he does. And so mission should therefore be right at the center of who we are as God's people and of what we do as his church. So mission isn't just something that some people do over in Africa or Asia or the other side of the world. It's not even just a part of our church mission strategy. Mission is right at the core of who we are as the people of God, because God's a missionary God, and so are we. Mission should be in our DNA, it should be in our blood. So here's a test. You know, if God's a missionary God, then our level of commitment to mission, both individually and as a church, will be a measure of how godly we are, how like God we are. So, for example, what does the amount of money we budget for mission this year, we've got a whole year ahead, what are we going to give personally and as a church towards God's work around the world? What does that say about our commitment to God as a missionary God? Do we just give the bare minimum, or do we make it a top priority? I know at church in Marrickville, we started off with a very small budget, hardly anything. I think we were losing money for the first few years, but I know our minister wanted to make it aim 40% of the budget. Let's aim for that down the track at some point. Let's try and give 40% away for mission, which is huge. But it's a great priority to make. And in our Bible teaching, in our sermons, in Sunday school, in the kids groups, in our home groups, can we make it a regular thing to talk about mission? Maybe at least once a year have a series or something like that about mission to keep reminding ourselves that God's a missionary God and this is why he sent Jesus. I don't know how you're set up here at 5C, but yeah, it's a good idea to have a mission committee or a mission action group or something like that where some people in the church can help everybody to think about God's mission in the world and how we can be involved practically. And there's a really good book by one of my lecturers, old lecturers at SNBC. Bruce Dipple wrote a really good book called Becoming Global, a really good practical guide about how to make your church more globally focused. It's a really excellent book. So mission's important because mission is at the heart of who God is. God is a missionary God. That's why he sent Jesus. Well, secondly, our mission is important because
Jesus sends us on mission into the world. Jesus sends all of us on mission into the world. Look at verse 18 there. Jesus prayed to the Father, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So Jesus wanted his disciples to carry on his mission to all the nations by going out and sharing their faith, sharing the gospel. And you see here how Jesus puts everybody into just two categories of people. So there are firstly the Jesus people, verse 6, those whom God gave to Jesus out of the world. So that's us. And secondly, there's the world. That's it. There's the Jesus people and there's the world. Everybody fits into one of those two categories. And the Jesus people here, they're sent into the world to preach the gospel. There's no limitations on where they should go. There's no age restrictions or, you know, any restriction on who should or shouldn't go. And Jesus, he didn't just pray for those people with him in the upper room there. He was praying for all believers. Look at verse 20. Jesus said, "My prayer is not for them alone," for his disciples. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." So that's you, that's me, that's every believer in the world. Every single one of us, as a follower of Jesus, is sent by him into the world to share our faith. And even if you read on a few chapters, you know, Jesus, he died and rose again. And when he came to see his disciples, he said to them, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." So, if you've ever wondered, you know, if I had the call to do mission work, is God calling me to go? Then let me say that yes, you have been called. God has called all of you, all of us, to go into the world and to share our faith. A few weeks ago, Carolyn and I had our commissioning service at Marrickville. It's good to see Stephen there and John. And there, lots of family and friends came to see us. Yeah, and we felt very special and honoured and blessed to have lots of people come and pray for us and lay hands on us and to formally send us out as we go to Spain. But we also felt a bit awkward because we're no special, we're no different to anybody else who was there. We're just the same. You know, we're going to jump on a plane and fly to the other side of the world, but what we're going to do in Spain is the same as what you guys are going to do here in Sydney, in your office, in your university or school or factory or wherever you work. We all have the same task, which is to testify to Jesus, to share our faith and to live for him. Jesus commissions all of us to go into the world and to share our faith. Now, it might be that God does want some of you to go and share the gospel cross-culturally or in another part of the world. And it's good to be open and to pray about that. Now, you're all pretty young here, but maybe your parents or grandparents, you know, they might think, "Oh, I'm too old to go on mission." But Jesus doesn't make any age distinctions here at all. Apparently, people aged between 55 and 65 are now one of the biggest groups of people as for missionary candidates to go out into the world. And actually, if you have grey hair, I don't have much hair, but if you have grey hair, then that's actually a sign of wisdom in many cultures, and so it can give you a good opportunity to share and teach. So don't write off your parents or grandparents or when you get to that age even. You know, no one's too old to be involved in mission. I went on a mission to Cuba quite a few years ago, back in my 20s. We were all in our 20s on this mission team. But there was one guy from church who came along. He was 73, a guy called Keith. Now, he did have a bit of trouble getting travel insurance. Nobody wanted to insure him to go, but he got it in the end. And afterwards, after 3 weeks in Cuba, he said, "I've never felt so alive in my life before." I can really remember that. He said, "I've never felt so alive in my life before." He's so excited to have been in Cuba and been involved in a mission trip there. And he actually went, this guy Keith, went a year or two later with a guy in his late 80s from the church. Just the two of them went along, 70-year-old, a guy in his 70s, a guy in his 80s, and they're giving out Gideon's Bibles in Cuba. So there you go, there's no excuse, no age limits here. Now you also might think, "Oh, you know, we've got plenty of opportunities right here in Sydney. We don't need to go out of the country to do mission work." And that's true. That's very true. But we shouldn't use that as an excuse to not think globally, not think about God's world. God's mission's global, and so our mission should be global. Now, you have a responsibility for outreach with your family, your friends in Sydney or the suburb or wherever you work. That's your responsibility for outreach. But you also have a responsibility for the world, for what's going on in other nations. Now, Stephen, your minister, and other leaders here, they have responsibility for you guys, but they also have responsibility for God's global mission as well, to be involved in what he's doing around the world. So I wonder how you can extend your ministry into another part of the world. Often people think, oh, where missionaries go overseas, that's it, goodbye, we've lost them. But actually, as we go to Spain, we want the different churches partnering with us to see us as an extension of what they're doing. So it's not like we're not lost, but we're just extending what ministry they're doing into another part. So it's exciting to think, wow, you know, that maybe you've got connections with other people in Asia, other parts of the world where you could partner with them and extend the ministry you have here internationally. So our mission is important because God's a missionary God, and secondly, because Jesus sends all of us out on mission into the world. Well, lastly, mission's important because God sent the Holy Spirit to equip and empower us as we're sent out into the world. So God sent the Holy Spirit to equip and empower us to go on mission into the world. I'm actually going to look here a bit, chapters 14 and 16, a bit earlier on in John. That's where Jesus talks about sending the Holy Spirit. Now, after Jesus, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, but he promised and he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us and to empower us and to help us go into all the nations to share our faith. Now, as we read, Jesus said, the world is a threatening place. Jesus said the world will hate us as believers in him. It's quite easy to forget that sometimes, I think, in Australia, because you know, generally this is a very safe, comfortable, peaceful place to live, isn't it? And we can get into a peacetime mentality. And we can forget that actually in other parts of the world, it's life-threatening to be a believer in Jesus. You know, we had a family from Iran walk into our church a few years ago at Christmas time, a Muslim family, and they walked into church and they wanted to find out about Jesus. And so our minister met up with them over a few months to read the Bible and answer their questions. And amazingly, over this time, just 3 months, the whole family came to Christ. They all became believers in Jesus. And so at Easter time, we took them down to Little Bay, where there's a nice harbour, nice water area, and we all baptised them, the whole family, parents and two teenagers. And actually, while we were there, people were taking photographs on the beach because they're quite intrigued in what was going on. You know, people just watching us baptise this family. But we had to ask them to stop taking pictures and even to delete the pictures because this Iranian family were worried for their safety, because at that point, they're thinking, if we have to go back to Iran and people find out we've become Christians, then we're in big trouble, we could have our lives in danger. So we had to ask these people, please, sorry, can you just delete these pictures? And thankfully, this family now have got refuge in Australia because they can't go back as believers in Christ. They'll be in a lot of trouble if they go. And even for Carolyn and I and Toby, as we go to Spain, not quite as not dangerous as that, but we need to expect hostility. If you're an evangelical believer, like if we all went to Spain now, then people would think of us very suspiciously. They think of us like a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or some strange, weird cult. They think we're out to brainwash them. So we need to expect that when we go to Spain. And often, I think, when we feel threatened, we want to stick together, safer. You know, even, for example, I lived on campus at Sydney Missionary Bible College. I was there for 3 years. And it's an amazing time of my life just to live on campus and be with such, you know, great people, and it's safe and comfortable. And yeah, a great time, friendly place. But actually, Jesus doesn't want us to stay in a place like that. He wants us to get out of our Christian ghettos and to get into the world and to mix and to share our faith, even though it's going to be hostile. Someone said to me recently, the missionaries are like cow dung. If you pile them all on top of each other, then they'll stink. But if you spread them out into the world, into different parts of the country, then they'll do good. I thought, wow, that's a really good illustration, actually. I think it's true for us. If we all stay together and pile up in our church, then we will stink, we'll be unhealthy, and we'll be destructive. But if we go out into the world, if we're spread out into where we live and work and study, then we'll do good. That's what Jesus wants. He wants us to go out and to do good in the world. We're most effective if we're spread out like that and not together in our holy huddle. But as we go out, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you like orphans on your own. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. And the Holy Spirit does three things for us. So firstly, the Holy Spirit was sent to live in us and to be with us. Jesus said in 14 verse 6, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So when you go back to work, maybe this week or in a couple of weeks' time, back in your workplace, your office, and you're confronted by colleagues who live very ungodly lives or, you know, very attacking towards Christianity, remember that they are your mission field. They're the people that God's placed around you. And you're not on your own. God sent the Holy Spirit to be in you and with you to enable you to be there. Well, secondly, the Father sent the Holy Spirit to teach and remind us of everything Jesus taught. Chapter 14, verse 26. So the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds us of what Jesus taught. So if we want to be effective missionaries, we've got to stick close to Jesus. If we're not reading the Bible, reading what Jesus said, if we're not praying or, you know, just in good relationship with Jesus, then we're not going to be effective as missionaries in the world. So we've got to pray and ask Holy Spirit to just help us to read the scriptures, remind us what Jesus said, and apply it to our lives. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit was sent to enable us to testify about Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is with us, he helps remind us of what Jesus said, and he helps us to testify about Jesus. You can see that in chapter 15, verse 26. So when you feel stuck for words at work or with family, if you aren't believers, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you the right words to say so you can stand up for Jesus. Now, we've only got 2 weeks before we fly, and we've got our passports ready. Even Toby has his own little Australian passport. He's got his picture there. He's got no signature yet because he can't sign it. So he's just got a little cross. So Toby's ready. Now, because I've got a British passport, that gives us all access to live and work and study in Spain because we're European. So we won't actually be Spanish citizens. We won't be Spanish. But because of my passport, we have access to live and work there and to do ministry. Now, in a similar way, all of us as followers of Jesus, you know, we're citizens of heaven. That's where we belong. But God has sent us into this world to live and to work and to study. And he's given us a passport, if you like, into this world. He's stamped it with the Holy Spirit. We are stamped and sealed with the Holy Spirit to live and work and to share our faith. And that gives us authority. The Holy Spirit gives us authority to live and to work and to testify about Jesus. So, why is mission important? Well, hopefully you've seen today here how mission is crucially important, vitally important, because God's a missionary God. That's who he is. He sent Jesus on mission into the world. Jesus sends us on mission. And the Holy Spirit is sent to be in us and empower us to go out into all the nations. And just as I finish, thinking of a couple of stories I heard recently about James Calvert. He was a missionary sent from Europe to go to Fiji, to the cannibals of Fiji in 1838. So he was sent on a ship the other side of the world. And on the way there, the captain of the ship said to this missionary, "Man, what are you doing? Why are you going to Fiji? There are cannibals there. They're going to eat you and all the people with you. Just go home." But James Calvert replied to them, to the captain of the ship, "We died before we came here." But wow, what a good attitude that missionary had. Actually, he's right. I think, yeah, if we're followers of Jesus, we've already died to ourselves. We've died, we've buried, and we've been raised again. And now we live for Jesus. So our lives don't belong to us anymore. They belong to Jesus. And we live to serve and to preach his name. There will be comforts and pleasures will try and keep us back, and a fear of the world will make us want us to not share our faith. But we've got to remember we've died to ourselves and Jesus has sent us out now. And this missionary lived in Fiji for 18 years. So he lived there a long time, and he even saw the king of Fiji come to faith, become a Christian. And so he saw a whole nation transformed for Jesus. What a privilege he had to see that and be part of what God was doing there. And even around the same time in the late 1800s, some other missionaries from Europe went to China to share the gospel in what was always been a closed country. These missionaries went there. And some missionaries went to a small town in southeast China, in Guangdong province. And I'm sure their families back at home in Europe probably thought, don't go there, it's too far away, it's dangerous, I'm not sure we'll see you again. Stay at home. But I thank God that those missionaries did go to this part of China to share the gospel and to preach Christ, because that's where Carolyn's great-great-grandparents used to live. And they heard the gospel through these missionaries, and they came to faith in Jesus. And so, through those missionaries going there, and Karen's great-great-grandparents coming to faith, generations of her family have been transformed by Christ. We had a big family get-together the other day, for Karen's family, and so many of them, mostly Christians and praying, and so exciting to see, wow, what a legacy has carried on. I bet those missionaries never realised the impact of what would happen through their message. And how exciting it is they're a part of what God was doing in the whole nation. I've heard someone say up to 100 million Christians even in China. Maybe you know more accurate than me, but that's incredible to think, wow, God has transformed a nation and a people for his name. So it's exciting to see what God's doing around the world, and it'd be good that we pray that we can be a part of what God is doing.